Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Welcome, everybody. Wasn't that an awesome time of worship? You watching us at home, and I know you're joining in with worship, but let's just take just a moment, and you, right there where you are, let's just give God a praise clap. Let's do that. Oh, he's an awesome God, awesome God. We really want to say thank you so much for tuning in. This is new to us, and it's new to you, I'm sure, but we're going to all get through this, but we really feel like God is doing something in this earth, and it's called a shaking. And all the things that are existing will be shaken except for the things of the kingdom. We see now that a lot of things that are shaking and all that that is going on, we see that the financial world is being shaken. The financial market, stock market's been shaken. Businesses are being shaken. Sporting events, the sports arenas have been shaken. Healthcare industries being shaken. But that's the reason we need to depend upon our God. I got a verse here that says Psalm 46:1-3 says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We're in a time of trouble. So we need to see that God is our strength, and God is our refuge, and a very present, everybody say present. Present. It's a present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, we will not be shaken because we're standing upon the rock, just like the song we were doing. You know, just for a moment, we normally do a greeting for you streamers and dreamers. What I'd like for you to do is make a comment on your comment page there, and just welcome other people and saying we're glad you're with us. So just go ahead and do that just for a moment. You know, we're all looking for this thing of when will this be over. We're looking for the timeline of when will this be over. When will this? How many of you know that that's what we're doing? We're saying, when will this be over? We need to really shift that thinking. We need to shift that searching. How do we do that, Pastor? Well, we don't need to be looking and searching for the timeline of when it will be over. We really need to be seeking and searching for the one who can make it be over. He's the one. Our focus should always be on him and not just on this timeline of saying, now we can breathe. No, we always need to see who he is, follow him and what he's doing, because he is the one who makes all the changes. We're in a big change. This country's in a big change. Churches are changing. And matter of fact, churches are going to feel a lot of the thing that of the shaking that isn't built upon the things of the kingdom of God. You know, we really need to see that that people, when they're going through this, have a difficult time. I've seen people that are really shaken. I see people that are fretting. I see people that are just physically exhausted. And it's all because they're worry and anxiety. But here's a verse for every one of you that seem to be wore out. Maybe you know someone that it seems to be wore out. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. It says this: come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to pause there for a moment. This come to me is Jesus with wide open arms. He sees that you're weary. He sees that you're heavy laden. He sees all this, and this is Jesus saying, I'm right here, and I want you to come to me. This thing about being weary, this word weary means to be exhausted. If you're exhausted, I want you to come to me. This heavy laden means physical fatigue. I am just wore out. This thing has just got me wore out. Physical fatigue. It also means burdened with anxiety. So he's saying, come to me if you're exhausted, and come to me if you're burdened with anxiety and you have this physical fatigue. And here's his promise: and I will give you rest. That's a wonderful thought. This thing about rest is, says, I will refresh you. I will cause your strength to recover. He said, I will give that to you. All you got to do is just come. Come acknowledging who he is. Just come to him, because he is the one that can handle your physical fatigue. He is the one that can handle your exhaustion. He is the one that can handle the things that have shaken you, that have brought you to a place of being physically wore out. He goes on, but Jesus doesn't stop there in the physical. He goes on in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Well, that's interesting. The rest that he says in this verse is not the same rest that he said in the other verse. The first rest, he said, I will give it to you. This rest, he says, you can find it. So this is the one that we have to find. How are we going to find this rest? He said, take my yoke. Take what governs me. Jesus' yoke was what governed him. Isaiah said, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. That's where the yoke rests, upon your shoulders. He's yoked with the Father. What was his yoke? His yoke was in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. That was his yoke. His food was to do the will of the Father. He was yoked with the Father in doing whatever the Father wanted him to do. This thing of this yoke in Hebrew, it's called a shema. This verse, these two verses, is the shema. And that's what governed Jesus. But something interesting about this, he didn't say he would place this yoke upon you. He says, take this yoke. It's something that we have to freely take. We have to freely choose to take. The same thing that governed Jesus was the Father's will. Same thing that governed him, he wants us to be governed by. His will, his Father's will. And he said, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Take it and place it upon you. In other words, let the kingdom of God govern you. You know, an interesting verse that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that path, that little verse, that just that little part right there, a lot of times it's misunderstood, because what he's really saying is, seek ye first to be governed by God. And then all these other things that you're looking for, they'll be added. That's how good God is. But we seek after all these things that we think is kingdom, but we're not really being governed by the kingdom. That's the reason there's a shaking going on. That's the reason that you feel the things that is happening in the world. I honestly believe that there's a huge reset button that God is going to be doing. See, the enemy is the one that wants to use it for destruction and to kill and steal. But see, God is the one that is going to use it to bring abundant life, because he is the Redeemer. He is the one that can take what looks like a tragedy and turn it for our good. That's how he works. That's the reason we need to look not for the end result, but we need to find the one that can bring the end result. We need the one that we're trusting in. And we're going to trust in the Lord during all of this. You know, Jesus came when he said, I am meek and lowly. Jesus came over in John, 1 John. He says that he came and he appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Well, I like that, don't you? Even though he said, come and learn of me, even in his humility and even in all of the things that his humbleness of heart, he was a warrior. And he came to be able to destroy the works of the enemy. Destroy the works of the devil. I really do like that. I hope you do. Because even in all of this chaos that we're going through, Jesus said, listen, I've already destroyed the works. In other words, what does he mean by that? I've destroyed the ability for Satan to have power over you. He has taken away the very power of the enemy. So he has done that. Now, what is left for us? Because he also says, as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. So we have a part to play. Jesus has already taken away the power. In other words, we used to have to sin. Now if we sin, we do it voluntarily. It's not a have to, because he's broken the power of sin, just like the song, his blood ran down. He paid an awful price, but he had us in mind when he paid it. And he wants us to understand that even in all of this, we look to him. Look unto him, because he is the deliverer. He is the one that is setting the stage for, I believe, one of the greatest revivals, one of the greatest harvest season that we're going to have that we've ever seen. Because I believe my God is the one that can turn this thing of, oh, there's nothing on the shelves. He can turn this thing of, what, we can't play basketball? We can't watch basketball? You know, we didn't have time before. Now we've got plenty of time. We didn't have time to read the Bible. Now we've got plenty of time. We didn't have time to go to church. Now we've got plenty of time to be connected, like online streaming and other churches that are doing it. And multitudes are connecting. Why? They're searching. They're searching. They're looking. We need to be the people that are able to show them the very things that they're searching for. Back to this thing of rest, in the first verse, he says, I'll give you refreshment for your physical being. I'll show you how I can renew the strength that you need to be able to operate physically. But the second rest, he said, if you take my yoke, if you take what governs me and you place it upon yourself and let it govern you, this is when you will learn of me. You have to learn of Jesus. Yes, he's meek and humble, but he's also a warrior. He is also one that delivers people. Learn of him. He said, learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. One is physical. Now this one is for your soul, your mind, your will, and your body. Mind, will, and emotions. He said, you can find this rest. I want to find that rest, don't you? But we're going to have to be governed by the will of the Father. And we're going to have to learn of Jesus. And we're going to have to be able to see what he's doing and what he's done. And we'll have to follow the will of the Father in all that we're going through now. He said, you'll find rest. See, this rest is called inward tranquility. In other words, everything else can be falling apart, but on the inside, you're calm. And you have peace. That's the rest that you find. The giving is what he gives you when you come to you, when you are exhausted. He said, I'll refresh you. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find this inward tranquility in your soul. What about that? In my thinking, in my mind, I can be calm and tranquil. In my thinking, in my emotions, I can be calm and tranquil. In my emotions, my will, even in the things that I choose, my will, I can be calm and tranquil in all of this. See, Jesus, we see ourselves a lot of times as a church, coming to church, coming to a building, sitting, praising, worshiping, hearing a message and going home. We see ourselves as a church doing that. God sees the church as his gathering people, his people that assembles. Jesus said, the church that he builds, the gates of hell will not prevail. prevail over it. In other words, the gates of hell will not be able to withstand the church that Jesus is building. All of a sudden, this thing of just having a nice little meeting for about an hour, hour and a half, changes, because God's view of why we're here is totally different sometimes than the view we think of why we're here. See, we're here to be equipped. We're here to be coached. We're here to be trained. We're here to be imparted, to have an impartation to come. We're here to hear what God is saying so that we can go out these doors and face the world that is full of darkness, and yet we have the power to overcome that darkness. We have the power to make a difference in everywhere we go, everybody we run into. I love that, don't you? But see, that's our God at work. We may not see what the next steps are, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? So the enemy knows that that he doesn't have to beat the church. He's not looking at trying to beat the church. He is looking, he knows all he's got to do is get the church distracted from her purpose, from her destiny, and we'll beat ourselves. So we have to understand that the enemy's working hard to do everything that he can, but the power is gone from the enemy. And Jesus says, the same authority and power I have received from the Father, I'm giving it to you. Boy, that is so great. That is a powerful verse, that he has given us that same authority. He's given us that same position of saying, wait a minute, I can actually make a difference. I can change the atmosphere. I can do something about what's going on. Absolutely. Do what he tells you to do. Just follow him. Do what he tells you to do. You know, we got to stop this being passive, and we have to start being aggressive in the thing of him. I mean, we're not going to be mad at people. We're going to mistreat people. That's not God. It's not the way of God. But he's called us to love. See, love doesn't stop. A lot of things are shutting down in America, but in a Christian's world, love never stops. And we have to keep on giving that love. We have to keep on reaching out that hand. We have to keep on helping those that are in need. We have to keep on telling them the truth. We have to keep on loving them as we tell them the truth. A lot of people see the church sometimes as somebody that's just really harsh when they tell the truth. And sometimes that happens. But it's not God's way. God tells us that in the process of us telling the truth, there needs to be a lot of love that is given. Amen. It needs to be wrapped in love. There's a passage that I want to talk about. It's over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you'll turn there with me, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But before I get there, I want you to know that every promise that God gives you, there'll always be an opposition to that promise. There'll always be an opposition to that promise. Why? Because that is the breaking through with our belief system of saying, I know what it looks like, but let me tell you what God said. I know what it feels like, but let me tell you what God said. I know what it sounds like, but let me tell you what God said. That's a person's soul that has found that rest, because we're governed by him, right? We're governed by him, and we have learned from him. He is the teacher, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us. And but if we operate in fear, we will be paralyzed. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, is King Jehoshaphat, and most of you are familiar with this passage. And he said in verse 1 that there were people that were coming to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, he's the king, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. See, we all have fears. We all have fears, right? See, but having the fear, it's like having a temptation. I can have a temptation, but I don't have to yield to it, right? I have a fear, but I don't have to give way to it. I don't have to give place to it. But he said Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention, watch this, turned his attention to seek the Lord. Wow. All of a sudden, you see all this stuff shutting down, and we said, whoop, what's going to happen? I'm a little bit afraid. What did he do? First thing he did, he turned his attention. I also believe God is getting our attention. Don't you? I think there's going to be a big reset. I think it's going to be, everything is going to be just great. It's going to be fine. But going through this, he said he was afraid, but he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all, watch this, they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. So I'm saying, man, right now we have people online streaming from all over the place. And part of what you're doing is seeking him. You're wanting to hear a word. You're wanting to hear what God is saying to his people. You want to hear what God is saying to this situation. You want this fresh word. You want this fresh revelation. You know, the Bible says, you know, that where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision actually means a prophetic revelation. Without a prophetic revelation, without a word from God, people will flounder. People will wander and just floundering around and perish. See, God is still speaking today. He has spoken to your heart to tune in. He has spoken to our heart to make sure that we have a venue for you to tune in. See, God is still leading us and still speaking to us. So anyway, he goes on and said, and Jehoshaphat stood at the in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, watch this. O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not the God in the heavens? Art thou not the ruler of all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. Wow. Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend forever? He doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, and they lived in it, and they have built thee a sanctuary there in thy name, saying, watch what they say. God's already delivered them. God is the God of all the heavens, and God has given them this land. And then they build the sanctuary for him, and here's what they said. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment, or pestilence, which is diseases, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you and cry to thee in our distress, and thou will hear and deliver. Well, think about that. He said, even we know you are, we know what you've done. And we acknowledge what you've done before, you delivering the people. And the people, our ancestors, have built these wonderful things, a sanctuary for you. And then they say to him, look, even if this stuff comes, should evil, should the sword, should judgment or the pestilence or disease, we will stand before this house and before thee, and we will cry in our distress, and thou will hear us and deliver us. Wow. See, I think God is saying, come on, come to me. I'm the answer. I'm your only answer. I'm the answer. I'm your only answer. And then he goes on and says, behold, take notice, God, how they are coming to drive us out from thy possession, which thou hast given to us as an inheritance. What does the enemy want to do? Drive you out of your inheritance. He wants to influence you to operate in fear and don't receive and don't walk in the very inheritance that God has given. See, the enemy, his whole purpose is to distract us, get us into fear, get us into things that are not of God. And the enemy wants to take us out as we let him, by him leading us through deception and through the schemes that he gives us. And he says, they're going to drive us out. But we say, no. But he goes on, he says this, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude. We are powerless, this great multitude, who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. We're powerless against this thing, nor do we know what to do. Then he adds this, but our eyes are on you. See, our victories start when we stop dwelling and looking at the situation and we turn and lift our eyes to him. We start looking at him in the midst of the situation, and that's where the freedom comes. That's where the freedom of fear, that's one of the steps that we overcome and that we conquer fear, is taking our eyes off of all this stuff and looking unto him. And he goes on and says, and all of Judah was standing before the Lord, not just the men, they brought the infants, they brought the wives, and they brought the children. You know, right now in homes, we've got the fathers, we've got the children, and we've got the mother. Just in your home, watching this, hearing what God is speaking, and hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about turning our eyes away from this thing. It doesn't mean to ignore it. It doesn't mean to say, it isn't, deny it, it isn't happening. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean, I'm not going to focus on this. My focus is going to be on the Lord. Because I know that he is the one that can fix it. He is the one that can end it in a day. End it in a day. Far beyond what man can figure out. And they're doing a great job. They're working as hard as they can to find what it is that we need to do as far as any cures or help. But you know, God says, I can end it in a day. I can change things in a day. See, that's who our God is. We need to keep believing that not only can he, but he will. Well, in the midst of all of this, God is saying, I want you to look to me. I want you to look toward me. See, there was a huge, huge battle ahead. They were completely outnumbered, totally outnumbered, huge battle. But in the midst of their praying, the Bible says in verse 14, in the midst of them, the Spirit of the Lord came. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to one of the prophets. The Spirit of the Lord came and said this, and the prophet stood up and said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. And listen to this. Thus saith the Lord to you. Do not fear, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude, because of the largeness of this thing. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, I want you to go down and face them. Verse 17, you will not fight in this battle. I want you to station yourself. See, we need to be stationed. We need to be at our stations where God has placed us, looking to him, looking for whatever he wants to tell us to do, we'll go do. He said, I want you to stand and I want you to see the very salvation of the Lord on your behalf, the very deliverance of the Lord on your behalf. He said, do not fear again. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. The king bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Listen, right now you need to understand that what God is saying, when he delivers a word, he wants us to understand this is God speaking to us today. It is bigger than any man. It is bigger than any idea that man has. It is bigger than, I mean, this is not just a United States thing. This is worldwide. I honestly believe there's going to be a harvest worldwide. So that's the turning of the good. But we look at this thing and we see, wait a minute, we've got to do something here. So we look to God. He has my attention now. He's got a lot of our attention, right? You got my attention. Things need to change. Things need to be different. And one of the things he said, look, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be confused about this thing. I'm at work. God's at work. He is. He's at work. Then he goes on and says, he gets up. Oh, they all stood up and they praised the Lord. And they used it. They praised the Lord. And I love this. With a very loud voice. Can you do that? A very loud voice? Praise the Lord with a very loud voice. Yes. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. You are the only true God. You are the one who can end this. You are the one that holds all of heaven, all of creation. So we praise him for that. See, and he said, do it with a very loud voice. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to be, oh, well, I might offend somebody. Well, you're not doing it to be offensive. You're doing it because he's worthy of your praise. He rose up the next morning very early, and Jehoshaphat told the people, he said, I want you to listen up. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed all those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him with holy attire as they went out before the army. Wow. Before the army ever went out, here was the game plan. The game plan from God. Excuse me. The game plan from God. Okay, here's what I want you to do. You're outnumbered about 3-1. So get your army ready, station yourselves. But I want you to send out the singers. I want you to send out the worship team. I want you to send out the ones that dance before me. I want you to, the one that dress in holy attire to praise me. That's who I want you to send out first. Send them out. Well, that flies in the face of every strategy, every war strategy that you'd ever have. It just flies in the face of reason. But you know, God doesn't use reason. God uses his word. God uses his word to turn things around. So they did that. All the dancers, all the musicians, and all the singers went before the army. And what did they do? They went out singing, praising, and worshiping. Singing, praising, worshiping. And the Bible says this. What happened then, Pastor? The Bible says this. They came out singing and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And they began singing and praising God. And at that very moment of singing and praising God, the Bible says that the Lord set ambushes for the enemy and destroyed them. And the Bible said they were routed. In other words, completely destroyed. That's the reason I'm saying with our worship, with our focus, with our attention, with our turning away from this and turning to him, we can conquer the fear. We can overtake anything that's in front of us. And by doing that, God sees in the midst of all the obedience. See, hey, now you're being governed by me. Watch this. Then he sets the ambushes. And when the army comes in, everybody's dead. There's no more enemy. And the spoil is left over. And they're able to just take the spoil back to the camp. Wow, what is God saying? He said, I will restore you a whole lot more than what you ever had. He wants our attention. He wants our love. He wants us to be governed by him. And he wants us to be in that place that no matter what he's asking us to do, that we're going to do it. But we can't be walking around as a people who are all nervous and shaking about what's happening. One thing I'll cover here, I don't have time to go into all of it. But I remember when Samuel was coming to anoint king. The people didn't really want God talking to them. They wanted a king. And God said, I'm going to give them a king. And he sent them, and he said, I want you to gather all of Israel together. And of all of Israel together, they picked the tribe, and it was Benjamin. They were almost annihilated. They were the smallest of the tribes. And in that tribe, they picked a family. And it was the Matrites. And that family was the least of all the families of Benjamin. And then they said, okay, who are we going to pick? And the Lord picked Saul. Saul. They all gathered together, and they was getting ready to anoint Saul. Looking around, where's Saul? Where's Saul? Where's Saul? Matter of fact, the Bible says, it amazes me, they couldn't find him. They even went to the Lord to ask him, Lord, where is he? Has this man showed up yet? Is this the one you want us to pick? Has he showed up yet? And the Lord says, no, he hasn't showed up yet. Where is he? See, he's hid himself among the baggage. Let that sink for a moment. Destiny awaits. And he's hiding amongst the baggage. So they go and get him out of the baggage and proceed the ceremony of anointing him king. Here's the question. What kind of baggage are we hiding in? We want things to change, but we're where all the baggage is. We have baggage of the past. We have baggage of failures. We have baggage of panic. We have baggage of fear. The baggage of a childhood that didn't work out right. All these things that cause baggage, and we're hiding in the baggage. So I'm thinking God is calling forth the church to get ready to be anointed, because he's already called you and I priests and kings. He's already done that. And he said, I want you to arise. I want you to come out from the baggage that you're in. I'm going to take care. See, I've already taken care of all the past. I've already taken care of all you. See, I mean, the baggage of regrets, the baggage of shame, the baggage of whatever it is that's hindering you from entering into the very destiny that God has for you. You know, just for a moment, we don't normally do this, but Pastor Charlie, if you'll come up, just for a moment. You're sitting there at home and you're hearing this word concerning not being shaken. You're hearing things that keep us from God and keep us from answering the very call that God wants us to take. But we've got to leave the place of hiding. We've got to be bold. We have to be inspired by the word of God. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to begin to move out of that place of baggage and arise up. And listen to this. And the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above every other person that was there. And I think it's symbolic when we as priests and kings, not in the natural world, but in the spiritual aspect of what God wants us to do in this world, in this land. I think when we rise up and we get out of this baggage that we're hiding in, I think we become bigger as people see us, because they see something different about us. They see you answering something deeper that's not within them. And I think that he's calling all of us to be able to rise up and become the people that he wants us to become, to make the difference that we need to make in this world during this season. So as Charlie plays, you just think for a moment, meditate for a moment. And you know, repentance is one of those things that you just say, I'm turning, I'm making the turn. That's repentance. I'm turning from this, and I'm turning to the Lord. No more baggage for me. No more baggage for me. So as he plays, you just meditate and reflect upon that. And we love you. We thank you for tuning in, and hope to see you again soon. And one day we will gather together. We will have an assembly that everybody can come together. And I'm telling you, it's going to be so awesome. It will blow our minds of what God has done in our midst when all looked like it was lost. Here comes the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in. One of the things in this passage that I really felt like the Lord in the other earlier passage that God, they called for a fast and they called for praying. They called people to pray. I really think that, I mean, I've heard of some other churches doing this and I think it's a great idea, but I really think that we need to join in. Every day at noon, let it be a prayer time. Set your phone to go off at noon, at 12 noon, and just join us in for prayer. We can connect that way. Always stay connected. We'll be reaching out to you with videos and other things, but I'll join you sometimes at noon on video. So just look for us, but put it in your phone every day at noon. We'll pray with a lot of other churches that are doing the same thing, and we'll be asking God for help. We'll be asking God for His word. We'll be asking Him for the strength and the wisdom to go forward. We'll be praying for our president. We'll be praying for our government. We'll be praying for people who are struggling. We'll be praying for the jobs to come back. We'll be praying for a lot of different things. So every day at high noon, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.